Welcome. Welcome to Prairie Street this last day of January on a rather balmy, if rather wet day. We are glad to be here. We are glad to see you. We are especially glad to see those who are here every single Sunday. And for those of you who are visitors, it's good to see you. For those of you listening at a later date, welcome. In our front row, Pastor Nelson, welcome. In our third row, Marty Bender, welcome. Stan Robinson, we have prayed for you, welcome. Simon Gingrich, where are you? Welcome. And Ross Ringenberg, welcome. We are blessed. If I missed anyone, my apologies. We are blessed to have everyone here together today to praise the Lord. Let us begin with a hymn of praise in the blue hymnal, page 99. Please stand. For our call to worship, listen to adapted words from Psalm 71. God alone is our refuge and hope. God is our shelter and protection. From our very first breath to our last, God's love and compassion never fails. So come. Lift your voices in praise to God. Bear witness to God's acts of mercy and love. Proclaim God's glory to all who will listen. Let's worship God together. Gracious God, we come to you this day seeking your guidance and your strength. Help us to understand that your love is strong and powerful and will support and sustain us through everything. Give us courage to place our trust in your abiding presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Our next song is in your blue hymnal, I think number 371. Please, you may stay seated.
In your green, sing the journey, number 23, slowly turning, ever turning.
Thank you.
For our confession this morning, pray with me. O God, you rule the world from end to end and for all time. You alone are God. In you alone we can trust. But so often we fall short. We repent of putting our trust in too many other things. We repent of forgetting that you are our hope, forgetting that you have loved us since before we were born, forgetting that you are the one to whom we can always turn to, the one to whom we can always go. Forgive us. Cleanse our spirits. Renew our minds. And keep us in your presence so that we might know your love and in turn share that with our broken world. Amen. Please stand for our words of assurance. Brothers and sisters, even before we were born, God knew us. God has always been with us. So let God be your rock of refuge. Remember to turn to him. Place your trust in God's presence and rejoice. Let us rejoice together because we can be assured of God's forgiving love. Hallelujah. Amen. Now is our time to share that love of God, that peace of Christ with one another, our brothers and sisters, saying the peace of Christ be with you and responding.
And also with you.
It is delightful to be here this morning, and it's particularly nice to see each one of you. This is the offering basket. If you have something, you can put it in. If you don't, you can just touch the edge and say a little prayer for the church community services. But today, you know, I get to talk about something pretty spectacular because the sermon today is about loving our enemies. Now, it's difficult to love even our brothers and sisters that we know. Do you ever find that? Do you get kind of ticked off with your parents sometimes? And you find it a struggle to love them? But I was thinking about this whole thing. I was trying to think, what's a good image? You know, should I use like a sandwich image? You know, like God's love is like the bread. And think of yourself as either the mayonnaise or mustard or lettuce or stuff. But then the passage just before Jeanette said this about passing the peace, the Lord reminded me of the Jeremiah passage. And it says, in that passage it says, even before you're born, I knew you. Where are you before you're born? Where were you before you were born? Any idea? Any idea? Where were you before you were born? You were a tiny, minuscule speck inside your mother. Blow me away. You were like a tiny, minuscule speck. And you were floating around. And then you attached to the wall inside and you started to grow. And you were this little thing, like a little tiny planet floating in a vast universe. And you know what? The vast universe cannot contain the love of God. Whoa. So if you want to know, buddy, I think you need to sit over there, okay? You wanted to sit close to your brother whom you love but are having a trouble time doing. Okay?
It's all right.
Sorry to single you out, but you're asking for it. But the thing of it is, you cannot base the love of an enemy cannot be based on my capacity, my ability to love. The only way I can love that brother who does things that annoy me, the only way that I can love the person who does hateful things to me, the only way that I can get beyond that emotional thing of love is if I tap into that broader love of God that formed the universe and that knew us even in the womb. Now, we're having a real struggle here right now. And I'm not sure what the cause of it is. But the point of it is that it's difficult to love even people that we see. It's difficult to love even our friends. But very often when we try to love, we just get beyond ourselves. There are certain people I know that simply wear me out. They just wear me out. And it's like, how, Lord, can I even love this person? You know, what is a loving response to this situation? And it's difficult. But when I realize that I'm just like that little speck floating inside the womb, I'm like a little, this earth is just a little speck floating in this vast universe, I realize that all of that space is really the love of God. And that's a tremendous source of love and energy and power. That song, revive us again. We come to church to be revived, restored in that love of God. And so it's sort of like making a cup of tea in a sense, you know. You come back, you're that water, and you drop the tea bag or you drop the tea grounds into the leaves into the water, and that love, that coloring and flavor permeates the tea. It goes all throughout. That's how God's love is throughout the universe. And God's love wants to take over our lives so that we can love our enemies. Does that make any sense at all? I think it's just a challenge. It's a challenge and it's an invitation for us to see ourselves not in terms of the present, not in terms of what we're feeling right now, but in terms of who God is. And that's what this passage this morning, and that's what our sermon is all about. Let's pray together. Lord God, it is a challenge at times just to, Well, it's a challenge to love ourselves, much less our brothers and sisters, our enemies. And we thank you, Lord, for this knowledge that even before we were born, you were loving us and surrounding us. And so as your love rains down upon each of these children, Lord, help them to be open to respond to your love and your grace in their lives. And may they grow in your likeness and image. And may we as a congregation be a space that demonstrates your love to others. And may we be a beacon, a light that shines forward and shows your love to the world, so that people can be encouraged to love not just those who treat them well, but to love their enemies. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Our scripture this morning, first passage, is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, God, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.'"
Jeremías 1, 4 a 10. La palabra del Señor vino a mí y me dijo, "Antes de que yo te formara en el vientre, te conocí. Antes de que nacieras, te santifiqué y te presenté antes las naciones como mi profeta." Yo dije, ay Señor, date cuenta de que no sé hablar. No soy más que un muchachito." Pero el Señor me dijo, "No digas que solo eres un muchachito, porque harás todo lo que te mande hacer y dirás todo lo que te ordene que digas. No temas delante de nadie, porque yo estoy contigo y te pondré a salvo."
Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put words in your mouth. See? Today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant."
Y el Señor extendió su mano, me tocó la boca y me dijo, "Yo, el Señor, he puesto mis palabras en tu boca. Date cuenta de que este día te he puesto sobre naciones y reinos, para que arranques y destruyas, para que arruines y derribes, para que construyas y plantes."
Our second passage is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?"
Lucas 4, 21 a 30. Entonces él comenzó a decirles, "Hoy se ha cumplido esta escritura delante de ustedes." Todos hablaban bien de él y se quedaban asombrados de las palabras de gracia que emanaban de sus labios. Y se preguntaban, "¿Acaso no es este el hijo de José?"
He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard that you did at Capernaum. And he said, truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all of the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian.
Jesús les dijo, sin duda ustedes me recordan el refrán que dice, médico, cúrate a ti mismo. Y también, haz aquí en tu tierra todo lo que hemos oído que hiciste en Cafarnaún. Y añadió, de cierto les digo que ningún profeta es bien recibido en su propia tierra. A decir verdad, en los días de Elías, cuando durante 3 años y medio el cielo se cerró y hubo mucha hambre en toda la tierra, había muchas viudas en Israel. Pero Elías no fue enviado a ninguna de ellas, sino a una viuda de Sarepta de Sidón. Y en los días del profeta Eliseo había también muchos leprosos en Israel, pero ninguno de ellos fue limpiado, sino Naamán, el sirio.
When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way.
Al oír esto, todos en la sinagoga se enojaron mucho. Se levantaron, lo echaron fuera de la ciudad y lo llevaron hasta la cumbre del monte, sobre el que estaba edificada la ciudad, para despeñarlo. Pero él pasó por en medio de ellos y se fue.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our sermon this morning is brought to us by our pastor, Carolyn Hunt. Welcome. Lord God, you have brought us here. We are eager. We are open. Bless your pastor, your daughter, Carolyn. Anoint her with your spirit. Put words in her mouth. And open our ears so that we may receive a word from you. In thy name we pray. Amen.
I've been thinking back to a couple years ago when St. James AME invited us to go and worship with them, and a number of us went over, and Reverend Jennifer Tinsley started out by leaning strongly on the pulpit and admitting, this has been the kind of week I've just had to lean on the Lord. And I feel a little bit like that, like a bruised reed today, so I'm going to throw myself on your mercy and just do the best that I can. So I've been thinking a lot about love in the last few weeks. Love, civil rights, freedom, guns, and fear. It's been a busy month. When I went to pick up flowers for the People's History of Elkhart event 2 weekends ago on the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, the tissue paper in the floral department at Kroger was already Valentine's Day. It was a standard issue. There were pink and red and love and XXOO and two little hearts entwined. It was trite, but not inappropriate for honoring those who seek the beloved community in Elkhart. So we used it anyway. And that's how I have thought of the 1 Corinthians 13 reading sometimes. That's the lectionary passage for today, which hasn't been read yet, but I know that you know it, and I'm going to be reading some of it. Trite, but not inappropriate. We hear it read at weddings, or at least I used to. If you were a kid in the 70s, you probably decoupaged it onto a wooden plaque for your mom and dad. I know I did. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. That seemed unachievable to me, and certainly not an accurate description of how my siblings and I treated each other. Maybe it was supposed to be about how parents love their children. Although it did say love is not irritable, so that's a little iffy too. But if this chapter is about us loving everybody as Christ loves, then holy cow, that is a tall order. Because we don't just love the Lord our God and love our neighbors or other members of the body of Christ, but we're supposed to love our enemies in this way too. And about this time, I want to know what joker paired 1 Corinthians 13 with the gospel passage from Luke in today's lectionary. I'm a strong believer in lectionary, but I don't get it today. Jesus speaks a couple of hard truths in his hometown synagogue, and the folks who loved him when he was growing up are ready to throw him off the cliff. Love your enemies. That wasn't in their mind. When we hear this passage from Corinthians, I think we usually think of ourselves as the lover in the situation. We're the person giving love, not necessarily the one who is loved. And that's why it's so challenging. But I want to tell you about a situation recently where I found myself that I was the enemy being loved. I have gotten acquainted with a number of African-American pastors in our community in the last year and a half. Pastors of churches big and small. And a couple I've gotten to know better, Elder Anders from Greater Bethlehem Missionary Baptist and Pastor Robert Hunt of Dawning of a New Day Ministries. And they've come here to our church several times for peaceful witness. And we've gotten to know each other a little bit. And Elder Anders had invited me to an event at his congregation a few months back, and it was the kind of thing I could bring Anthony and I could bring the boys, and I really had every intention of doing it up until about 30 minutes before. It was just one of those, we were exhausted, we just couldn't do one more thing. But I felt bad because he had reached out and invited me to come to something, and I realized that by not showing up, you know, I may have given offense, or I might have made him think that I didn't take his invitation seriously. So when I saw Elder Anders again at the People's History event, and he said, oh, you're coming tomorrow, right, to the IMA thing at Canaan Baptist, which of the dozen events for Martin Luther King weekend, honestly, it wasn't on my list of things that I was going to. I was going to something Monday morning, and I'd helped with something Saturday, and there'd been things Friday. But he said, oh, you're coming. And I thought, I have to go. This is the second time Elder Anders has invited me. I need to show up. So this was a Sunday afternoon. We'd already had a full day here, probably 5 or 6 hours. And I showed up at 4 o'clock to Canaan Baptist, where I'd never been before. I'd met their pastor, but I had just played phone tag and never made the connection, really. So I went in, and there are all these people milling around, and I made sure to say hi to Elder Andrews so he knew I was there, and I went and I started to sit in the back, and I found somebody I knew from Prairie Street, so I was going to sit with them. And so we sat down, we got our coats off, and he came over to my pew, and he said, "Oh no, Pastor Hunt, you come and sit up here up front. You know, the ministers are going to sit up here, and you know, there'll be people on the platform, but then you're going to be in this room, and you come back here, and you're going to process with us in." Now, I was dressed like this, which is about the fanciest thing I have, but I was really underdressed. and I'm rarely rendered speechless, but that was one of those times, because I thought, I'm just showing up because you invited me, and I know there's something good happening here. But I didn't have any expectation of being welcomed with that extravagant love. And he said, "No, here, you know, come back." And I stood with all these other pastors, and I didn't know what to say. And I had my little recycled tote bag that I made, and all the other ladies had their fur coats and their nice handbags. you know, by all rights, I should have been his enemy. My ancestors might have been if we'd lived here. You know, I'm someone who has benefited since before I was born from white privilege, from things that are institutionalized that I am only now beginning to understand. You know, I'm getting to be nearly 50 years old, and I'm only starting to understand some of the structures in our society that separate people. And I just thought I was going to come and pray with these people, and they said, "Come up here." And that was an act of such generous love on his part that I didn't deserve. I had done nothing special other than get my butt in the pew. That is all I did. And we had a great service, worshiping God together, and all kinds of speakers and singing and praying, and it was wonderful. It was long. We were there till about 7 that night, but that was a foretaste of heaven. So we see enemies these days everywhere. We see political enemies, ideological enemies. We define ourselves by what we're against instead of who we love or what we're for. And this happens within the church as well. You know, not just within the town or within the country or in the world, but we're very quick to put up that wall and say, within this wall, you're okay, but out of that, you're my enemy. So maybe the trick about loving your enemies is that once you start loving someone, you realize that they're not an enemy. They weren't made to be an enemy. God didn't make them your enemy. They're your neighbor. And when we come to know those people, talk to that person or eat with her or pray with him, then our heart softens and we change. I had that experience that same weekend of going to the gun show, which I could talk a whole lot about in another context, but when I was going in there, I was really pretty sure I was going into the enemy camp to get intel. I was going down there to find out what was going on. And I was full of fear, and I was sure that everyone there was not like me at all. And I was fairly certain that someone was going to point and say, "Mennonite pastor, pacifist in aisle 3. I was sure they could read it on my face, because y'all know you can read everything in my face. So, but most of the, I mean, everybody there is just people. It's people that think really differently than I do about a lot of things in the world, but they're as distasteful as I may find it. There were people there with their children and their babies and their families and kids and grandparents. There were people behind me who love each other. I could tell how they treat each other. It scared the living crap out of me that their people had to unload their guns and get them zip tied before they could go in, because I'm looking at people's guns. But all those people are just people. They're people God loves. And even in things like gun laws and like politics and like all this stuff, I think we're just going to have to take time to be in each other's space. You know, and it does take time. You know, I could tell going to this gun show, well, I can't get there just once and then think I know everything. I'm going to have to keep going back. Or if I wanted to really understand the other person's point of view, that other, that enemy, I'm going to have to enter into a relationship with them. And I'm going to have to show them I can be trusted and that I'm not just going to lash out. It's going to take time. I still think loving your enemies is really hard. But God gives us this love. If we make the effort to love, God can transform our hearts so that we're not just seeing people as enemy or friend. You're with me, you're against me. But that God has created us and God loves us. I want to read you a little bit more from the Corinthians. This is the message, and this had me think of how I would want to act if I was going to the gun show or meeting with an enemy or... So this is the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. God, give us your love today. Fill our hearts with your love. May it change our eyes. May it change our hearts. May loving our enemies become a joy. May it become second nature. May it become effortless. May we be your love incarnate on this earth. Amen.
In the blue hymnal, number 367, for the healing of the nations, please stand.
for the healing of the nations, for our growing in God's likeness, God's great name written on humankind, on each one. Receive now these words of Scripture for you. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. But we do know this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. So go now and live as God's children. Amen.